Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. As we continue with the Olivet Discourse, just want to let you know right now we are just in the small portion of the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. We are looking at what will take place in the world. The Lord gives us a snapshot of the events that will take place in the world for the last 2,000 years until He returns, until the great tribulation that will come upon the earth. And so enjoy what we're listening to here and what I'm preaching regarding the Olivet Discourse, and then we will get into the abomination of desolation in the following weeks. So the end is not. We see that in verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And so there's the period of time in that Olivet Discourse where there is the destruction of Jerusalem, and the Jews are scattered by the Romans, and they flee for their lives, and Jerusalem becomes desolate. So we read, it's interesting that in the book of Matthew, Matthew doesn't record this part of the Olivet Discourse as detailed as Luke does. Luke gives us a little more insight into the destruction of Jerusalem here. We see in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Verse 23, "But woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck." That's talking about mothers who are nursing young children in those days. "For there shall be great distresses in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And this is the time of the Gentiles. We are in the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles when Jesus was here on this earth was the time of the Gentiles. Actually, the time of the Gentiles began in when the Israelites were expelled from their land, and they were in exile in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And that has been the time of the Gentiles, and we are still in the time of the Gentile. The Gentile nations rule the earth, and Jerusalem was made desolate and destroyed. The temple was completely leveled, and every stone was taken down from the temple. And so we see that. It's interesting in Luke, we see a near prophecy there. That took place in 70 AD, but then also there is a far prophecy, an event that will take place in the future. We see that Jerusalem is reoccupied, and there is another prophecy that is fulfilled in the Olivet Discourse. We'll talk more about that, about the Israelites coming back into the land in 1948, but they haven't built the temple. And it's still, Jerusalem is not the capital city of Israel, and there is still a lot of occupation of Israel or Jerusalem by Muslims and Christians. We see that about the near prophecy and a far prophecy. So there's two prophecies that are developed or enfolded in these words that we just read from Luke, and one is still to be fulfilled, and that will be the end of the age. Now, Matthew gives a little more detail about that far prophecy, as we will see later on when we read from 15 down to 31. This gap, and we've talked about that, this gap is the time of the Gentiles. There are many Gentiles. This is primarily the age of the Gentile church. Many Gentiles have been saved and came to a saving knowledge of Christ, of all nations and languages and tribes of people all around the globe. And so this is the time of the Gentiles, but this age will come to an end also. So let's look at the second question. What shall be the sign of the world's end? Well, Jesus starts to give us a long list of end time signs. He talks about wars and famines and diseases and persecutions and natural catastrophic events. Loathsome behavior, iniquity will abound. And those things have been occurring for the last 2,000 years. And nations have fallen down, have been destroyed. Wars have wiped out total nations. and nations have been blurred into other empires. And so we've just seen this history of the earth for 2,000 years. The Lord just says there's going to be famines and plagues, as we have just came out of the plague of COVID for the last 2 years. And there's more plagues to be had in the earth before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We see that the love of many shall wax cold. We talked about that when I was talking about the SB 1, the Senate Bill 1, the abortion bill that was going through our legislators, the Senate and then the House, which has been passed with many different amendments. And I made the statement that for 63+ million babies to have been murdered by abortion, that means the love of many mommies have waxed cold. And however many mommies it took for 63 million babies to be slaughtered in the last 50 years since the Roe v. Wade. And there's just this coldness that's developing in the world. We see these globalists who are so bent on depopulating the earth and wanting masses of people, large numbers of people to die because they feel their Mother Earth can't handle this huge population of people, 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and we're running out of food, and we're running out of oxygen, and the earth can't sustain that number of people, and that we're destroying the earth with pollution and carbon footprint. And so they want to eliminate these masters of globalism, want to eliminate huge sums of people. And so they're orchestrating many of these man-made, contrived pestilences, plagues in the earth to try to eliminate huge masses of people. And you just have to apply that to the scriptures and the mindset of these people who have their consciences totally seared to understand that these things are taking place. Now, let me just take a side note here for a minute. There are many churches today that are not preaching anything regarding end times, the book of prophecies, Daniel, the book of Revelation. Some of these preachers never deal with those topics. You find that so in many churches. I won't identify which churches, but if you're listening, you may never hear things about the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the Olivet Discourse, end time prophecies. And so I pray that you would be listening and interested in these things. And maybe it's time for you to move from one church to another, relocate, and find a church that talks about the end times and what it's going to be like in the world, and understand that the nature of man, the nature of man is wicked, the unregenerate man. There's just wickedness deeply rooted in their heart, that wicked nature, and man is not good. Man is bad, and that's why we needed a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from ourselves and save us from the world and from the sin, from wicked sin, and identifying what sin is. Murdering a baby in the womb is sin. And interesting in the arguments in the Senate and in the House chambers, you know, nobody's talking about the soul of that baby. The minute that child is conceived, God places a soul in that baby. That baby has a soul, and that soul is eternal. All souls are eternal. And there's a greater aspect of murdering that child in the womb than just killing some flesh. There's a soul. There's a soul. That child has a soul. That baby has a soul. Just like John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary, and she was pregnant with Jesus. And so the babies have a soul. And you legislators who think it's okay to not ban and not criminalize abortion, and everybody else who doesn't think that we should criminalize abortion and criminalize the doctor who performs abortion or the woman who wants to have an abortion and goes to an abortion doctor, that's a crime, that's a murder, that's a crime that needs to be punished. And it is vile. That is vile that we are doing that in this so-called modern age, killing a baby in the womb. And that just shows you the wickedness and the vileness of man. And so that's what Jesus is showing us, showing the disciples, of what the world is going to be like. Just the chaos in the world because of unregenerate man. And there will be those who will come to Christ, who know Christ, and they will be persecuted. And we know of the Dark Ages and the 1500 years of the persecution of the Christians, really 2,000 years persecution of the Christians. They were first persecuted by the Jews, the Roman Empire, and then by the Roman Catholic Church. Christians were persecuted. They were killed. And the Dark Ages, really the Dark Ages is about 1,000-year period of time, where the Bible was outlawed. The popes outlawed the Bible. The Holy Bible was outlawed. And the common everyday people were not allowed to read the Bible. If it was read, it was read in Latin, so the people could not understand it. The uneducated people could not understand it. So I say all this, again, Jesus preaching in the beginning of the Olivet Discourse, there in verses 1 through 14, is directed to the New Testament saints, the Church of God, as they will be the only ones reading this book and have the spiritual discernment to interpret it. The New Testament is forbidden by the Jews to read. And I worked with a Orthodox Jewish boss many years ago, and he told me that he could not read the New Testament. He read it, but he told me I could not never admit that to my Jewish family, that I read the New Testament, because it's forbidden by the Jews to read. And the New Testament, of course, is ignored by the unregenerate Gentile world. Now, when I say unregenerate, that means they're unsaved. They don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the Bible is ignored. There are instances in universities where the Bible is read just as a book of literature, not by a professor that is saved, not by a professor that is born again, but by a professor who just looks at the book as a literal book, as a piece of literature, just as any other famous piece of literature, and they interpret the book based on its historical aspects and nothing about its spiritual aspects. Note, Jesus emphasizes that he that shall endure in Matthew 24:13, he that shall endure, that means endure the sufferings that they will, individual Christians will go through. Now, we in America have gone through almost 250 years of peace, and very little suffering. The suffering has been minimal as a Christian. So we don't know all the suffering that the believers in the ages gone by and in other third world countries that have suffered immensely for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, the Lord here says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that does not mean that's not talking about the salvation when you initially believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about your walk. That's talking about continuing in the faith, which is emphasized by the epistles and by the apostles in their epistles, about enduring unto the end. So there is a salvation initially in your life, and there's a salvation at the end of your life. And we will talk a little bit more about that shortly. Jesus makes a similar declaration at the end of the church age in the book of Revelation. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Okay? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. These are parallel statements that correspond to inheriting the kingdom, not the gift of eternal salvation, which is strictly due to one's simple initial faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Salvation has a dual meaning. There's salvation of eternal life, and there's salvation of ruling and reigning in the kingdom age to come. So we see this twofoldness of divine truth. One is a gift, the other is a prize. Paul said many years after his conversion on the road to Damascus, I press means I apply myself, I work at it, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we cannot confuse the prize or the reward with the gift. The prize or the reward is something that comes after we continue in the faith, after we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, after we endure, like Jesus said here, these things, we shall see a reward and we shall be saved. So there's salvation into the kingdom, there's salvation into eternal life. And one is unmerited and the other is merited faith. It's dealing with our works in faith with Jesus Christ and having fruit in our lives, being fruitful. We read in the parable of the sower about many who are not fruitful. They fall away for one reason or another. But the Lord is looking for those who bear fruit. So not all those in Christendom bear fruit. And there is those who fall away for various reasons, for the cares of this world or for persecution. They can't endure the persecution that comes upon them. Then Jesus says in verse 14, then shall the end come. We read that in Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The gospel of the kingdom, different than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is preaching here, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. This is what Jesus preached, as we find extensively in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The gospel of the kingdom has been lost or ignored in the English-speaking nations this last century. With absolute pride, today's theologians teach they are privileged to the kingdom inheritance instead of earning it through obedience. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will be significantly ramped up after the pre-tribulation rapture by various groups, by the repentant believers that are left behind, by the new Gentile converts, and yes, there will be believers who will be left behind because they are unwise, and we will see that in the 10 virgin parable in the Olivet Discourse. That's in the future here, but not all believers will be ready for the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, and they will go into it. And they will, many of them will repent that are left behind. So the gospel of the kingdom will be preached by them. There will be new Gentile converts in the tribulation period that will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the two witnesses in Jerusalem, they will be preaching. They will be preaching the second part here of the Olivet Discourse here in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 31, extensively. And we'll talk more about that later as we get into the abomination of desolation. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached by the 144,000 Jewish witnesses that we read about in Revelation chapter 7 and 14. This portion of the Olivet Discourse, the first 31 verses, does not disclose the pre-trib rapture. Accountability placed upon believers has been overwhelmingly ignored by the Church of God or Christianity in general, especially in the English-speaking parts of the world, and they've ignored the doctrine of accountability. In the Great Tribulation, a significant event occurs that is strictly a Jewish event, occurring in the newly constructed Tribulation Temple. This warning is directed to the Jews who are made aware of the potential for this event by the Jewish witnesses in the tribulation. It has no bearing on the Jews today because there is no temple. I am of the opinion that the tribulation temple will not be built until after the pre-trib rapture. Remember, I have taught in the past that there could possibly be 40 years prior to the 70th week of Daniel 9.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.